Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Our focus is commercial real estate, exploring vital questions, confronting commercial landlords, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, tenants, and anyone providing services to the industry. Your host is Howard Klein. His commercial real estate practice over 35 years has concentrated on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented with the sole intent of educating listeners. Howard and his guests are specifically not offering legal advice. If you need legal advice, consult your own counsel. CRE Radio is available live and downloadable anytime at creradio.com. Call in during the live show with your comments or questions, 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to CRE Radio. I'm your host, Howard Klein, and today's show is entitled, It's a Cold Calling Day, and Mike, am I allowed to say hell?
Yes, you're allowed to say hell three times during this show.
Oh, okay. All right. So I've said it once, and our special guests are Rod Santamassimo. Did I pronounce that correctly, Rod?
That was perfect, Howard. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, great. We're hearing the applause in the background, and Michael Dernerin. Michael is our producer here at CRE Radio, and I'll get to his background after we talk just very briefly about Rod. Rod is a noted author and trainer of commercial real estate brokers, and I might add, as of this morning, I've been notified that he is a hero. Because I got an email from one of our listeners saying that he was very sorry that he couldn't make it. He will listen to the recording, and Rod is his hero. So, Rod, you are now also my hero.
Well, I'll pass the heroic labeling for right now, but hopefully we'll have some heroic results with some of your listeners today.
Hopefully. And Mike Dernerin is always somebody's hero. I'm not sure whose, but Mike, and now if you hear me teasing, Mike, that's just part of our background. I'd like to remind everybody that our call-in number, if you'd like to call in and leave a comment or ask a question, you can call in to 619-393-6492. That's 619-393-6492, and press 1 to talk or leave a message. You can also... You leave a comment for us on Twitter at CRE Radio. You can ask questions at creradio.com. And also, finally, on our website, you can go directly to our page on this show and leave a comment at creradio.com/cold call. So we are looking for comments and questions, and please feel free to do that. So now, without further ado, we're going to start with a question that Mike, because I've allowed him on the show once, now he's going to try to run everything. And he's told my mistake. And he's asked me not to start with this, but the first question is cold calling dead? Is it worthwhile to even consider? Rod, why don't you start?
Well, you know, Howard, I think Michael may or may not agree. Is cold calling dead? Well, the pure definition of cold calling, not knowing who you're calling, just putting out a general solicitation and hoping for a response, I won't say it's dead because people certainly still use that methodology, but it certainly is the poorest form of prospecting there is. So by my definition, prospecting, calling, creating a opportunity and securing a meeting with someone that you have either done some research on or have some reason to reach out to them and some specific reason that has value to them, that's absolutely alive.
And Mike, what's your thoughts?
My thought is that the cold calling, this is similar to Rod's
idea. Thank you very much, Mike. Now let's go on.
I hope I get to be on the show again sometime.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
In terms of cold calling, in my view, cold calling is where there's been no previous contact. And you know, my background is obviously is broadcast marketing. However, I found myself, you know, year after year in the situation, perhaps similar to many commercial real estate brokers, where you are constantly calling people that you don't know, and you're trying to engage a conversation that will lead to the elements of a makeable deal. The point in terms of cold calling, is it dead? No. I think if in fact you have to, if you were to see me, for example, I have vendors, people that I deal with, if you were to see me as someone that you could do business with, if at the end of the day, if you're afraid to reach out and try to engage me in some way, even though we've never spoken before, you might be in the wrong end of your business. The point being that there are ways to certainly warm up a cold call in terms of the research and information that's available so that you're not reduced to making a call, the coldest of cold calls, which would be something like this. Hello, I'm Bob. I'm a broker. Do you have any buildings you'd want to sell? Do you have any buildings you want to buy? If you do, I hope you'll use me. I can't think of a call much colder than that.
Well, before we get into the research issue, let me give you an example of how I was, in essence, brought up cold calling as a broker. I was in Manhattan. We had a Yellow Pages. This was in the early 80s. I'd get a Yellow Pages book and would just start calling people in Manhattan. The other way that we, and I found that extraordinarily painful. The other thing that we did was I would canvas like a 30 or 40, 50 story building on Park Avenue. I would get, if I could, the name of the important person to speak to, if I could get past the receptionist, and I would start calling, asking if they had any available space or I had someone looking for available space. Is that cold calling?
Well, it's not pure cold calling, and what I think is in a sense, because you are actually trying to provide value, whether real or not, in relation to that specific owner. So I wouldn't say it's cold calling, but certainly is a crude way to prospect.
Very crude, yes.
Now, I think it was crude because it was me, not necessarily because those were the tools that were available at the time. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say that that I would still consider it a cold call, although I would because there's been no previous communication or contact. I would consider it a cold call, however, that is a heck of a lot more likely to succeed because I have done some due diligence in that I can call and offer something of value, something of interest to the person whose day I'm interrupting. I think we often forget that we don't know on the other end of the line. We don't know what we're calling into. We don't know the situation. We don't know what they're busy with. They don't know that their puppy, you know, is sick. We don't know that their boss has given them some last-minute deadline. And very often I found in, you know, cold calling to a great extent, at least in my time, that very often when you do find someone rude, I've found that it's best just to actually call them back in 3 or 4 weeks. And I got to tell you that the vast majority of the time, they don't remember from a few weeks ago when it was a little ugly. And if they do, 10 to 1, they kind of wish they didn't. And you can usually say something along the lines of, you know, I guess I caught you at a tough time last week. Hopefully, timing is better for us to talk now. And usually when they realize what happened, most people are more than accommodating at that point.
Okay. Why don't we take a short break at the moment? And when we come back, we're going to talk with Rod about what he calls setup and Mike calls research to try to warm up that cold call.
Go mobile with the analyst. When the deal changes, and you know it will, be ready whenever, wherever to update property analyses with the analyst. Multi-page reports in seconds sent straight from your mobile device to your client's email. Environmental summaries delivered right to your iPhone or iPad in as little as 10 minutes. free from your desk at last with the analyst. Log on to CREradio.com for Howard's comments, his one-on-one with developer Todd Kuhlman, and links to the analyst.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today.
This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guests, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
Okay, and welcome back to CRE Radio. We have a special guest, Rod Santomassimo. And Mike Dernerin. I didn't really give any introduction, about Mike, except that Mike is our producer here at CRE Radio. And the reason why he is on today's show is that I needed someone to really tease and ridicule, and Mike was readily available. Also, Mike has got, I guess, nearly 40 years worth of experience doing sales for, I guess it's CBS Radio and a number of other radio stations, including the Angels radio station. And if anybody knows how to handle cold calling, it would be Mike. So, Mike, thank you for joining us. So let's get back now and let's talk a little bit about what Rod talks about setup. Basically, how to warm up that cold calling. Rod?
Well, there's a lot of methodologies to have a correct setup and make it more of a warm call. One thing I want to really stress to the audience is your call could be so much better prepared and so much more best received if they know who you are. And I know this is the opposite of the cold call definition that Mike suggested, but what if you made a call and someone's saying, "Who the heck are you?" Because I can't use that other word that Howard's limited to for three times today.
He's but got two
left. Yeah, you don't have the limit.
But instead they say, "Oh, yeah, I've heard of you." Imagine the impact. Imagine how much smoother that would go if you had the presence while making the phone call. And one thing, Howard, and I know I'm a little off target here, one thing we set up for that setup, we really ensure with our clients, our coaching clients, that they have a presence to whomever they're going to call on. Because a presence gives you that leverage, gives you the ability to make that cold call a lukewarm or a warm call. And there's a lot of ways to go through presence. We'll get into that later and building the formula and what that means. But the setup itself, if you have the presence, you're about to make the call, then absolutely yes, you have to do the research. Because here's the way it works. Let's face it. What you have to say, what the message you articulate to the audience is just as important to the audience themselves. For example, I'm calling Howard, and I have a terrific pitch. It's fantastic. It's well-scripted. It's absolutely to the target. And Howard tells me, "Well, you have the wrong guy. I'm not responsible for that." Well, I didn't really make a connection, did I? Vice versa, Howard's the right guy. I want Howard's business. I want that meeting. But my pitch or my script is way off target and just poor. Well, I may have the right guy, but I will not get the meeting. So just recall, just remember, what you say is just as important as who you're going to say it to. So that means from the set perspective, you have to have the right value proposition. You have to understand who your target audience is. And you have to do some research. And there's so many ways to do research, which I think we're going to get to in a few minutes. But I'll let Mike take a stab at it as well.
Well, I particularly like, you know, the idea of establishing a presence, and I'd like to get, you know, obviously, as we will later in the show, a further view of you know, Rod's concept on that. And I think presence in one way could, you know, possibly be the matter of, you know, how the Enterprise brands itself to the market, you know, segment in general. And I think that is very important. I think, though, that, you know, while it's important and it's necessary, the only item that I think I might put in front of that, just from my own, you know, experience doing this, is some item, something that in some way will appeal to the primary initial interest of the target of the cold call, the person you're trying to reach. If there's some way that you can engage him, I think we underestimate the value, the power of engagement. And very often with a lot of these tools, the social media, LinkedIn and the various research facilities we have at hand, I think oftentimes people will wish or hope or think that this is a good substitute for just picking up the phone and calling the guy and asking him an arbitrary question. And I think that wishing and thinking and hoping is probably not a good business plan.
Well, Mike, can we get back to the presence comment? Because I have this question for Rod. What you're suggesting is you pretty much tell the person that you're calling right up front who you are. What if nobody knows who the heck? I don't want to waste my. What if you don't? If nobody knows who the heck you are, what do you do then?
Then you're forced in the position of quickly, and I mean quickly, substantiating who you are and the purpose of your call. And then I agree with Mike. Then you have to get quickly to how to engage that prospect.
One of my thoughts is that, particularly if you're new in the business and you're not established yourself or you don't have an established name, this is where there is a benefit for going with a large firm rather than going on your own. I mean, there might be other very significant benefits, but if you go in with a CBRE or Cushman Wakefield, not to highlight any particular agency out there, or Jones Lang LaSalle, it's more likely that people are going to recognize those names. And what you're suggesting, I think, is that you make sure that you identify those names, and it becomes almost irrelevant who you personally are, at least at that point. Okay.
Well, I do agree. First of all, you'd be surprised how many prospects don't recognize those names, because it's just not in their bailiwick of real estate decision-making process. But with that said, if you have any potential or viable lever, whether it's your senior manager, your office, your company name, or association, then yes, as a newer-to-business associate, regardless of your industry, you are best served by using that and leveraging that for that introduction. So I agree with you completely. If it's a CB or a Cushwake or Joe Blow, if it's more recognized than you yourself, go with that first.
Okay. All right. Another question that I would have is, let's go a little bit to the research. And I think research is related to engagement. What kind of research do you need to do or should you be doing?
Well, it depends on the purpose of your call, obviously. If you're calling a tenant to represent them, obviously you want to get everything you can about the industry, the issues they're facing, their space itself, the obvious definition of the amount of square footage, their potential lease expiration, and the like. If you're calling owners, certainly you want to understand their holdings, everything about their holdings, their investment history. And you may think, wow, that's going to take a lot of work, right? I'm going to make X number of calls a day, and I do all this research. Well, I don't care where you are, what level you are, even what income level you're at. Research today is so easily had with alternative channels, let's say, to secure that research. So let's take an example of you're a tenant representative. We'll start with that one, and you're going to call on tenants. You want to learn about their industry. You want to see if you can figure out how much square footage they have, when their lease is up, about the person, the decision maker. Well, with social media itself, we certainly have several channels to go out and find out a little bit about the person, the industry, their interest, and the like. And you can do that. You can scour the web and find the whole information out and spend 15 minutes before making every call. You can. And will it serve you well? Well, if you're only making a couple of calls a day, I guess it would, because you also have to work on transactions. But, for example, let me tell you, Howard, can I share with you what I do for research?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're a commercial real estate coaching and consulting company. So we call on associations, on organizations, on large firms, on small firms, and sometimes on individual brokers. Absolutely. So I have a choice. Yes, I have some research people, and yes, I have a business development person, but let's say I'm going to make, and my rule of thumb for me running this organization, I still want to make at least 5 to 10 calls a day. That's myself. Don't get me wrong, audience. Some of the top brokers in the U.S. are making, top brokers are making between 100 to 200 calls a week. So let's just be clear what I'm doing versus what you should be doing. So if I'm going to make 5 or 10 calls a day, I can go the same route I suggested and do the research and get the information and be prepared for that call. Now, that's not the best use of my time. So what do? I get a virtual assistant, and I basically send them every evening 5 names of people that I would like research on, 5 to 10, depending on what my next day shows. And then I go to bed, and it's a pretty wild research methodology. I go to bed, and then I wake up the next day, and lo and behold, in my inbox are those 5 names with a 1-page write-up with links of everything they're doing, where they went to college, what the decisions they are, where other organizations they have joined. Everything's researched through my virtual assistant. Now, I, of course, have virtual assistants. I mean, it makes sense during the time I'm talking about. They're not in the U.S. In fact, my virtual assistant is in India. And so while I'm sleeping, they're researching. And that virtual assistant will probably charge me per day $3 to $5 a day, or a cup of, or a bottle of water at Starbucks. Put it that way. I don't drink coffee.
Rod, I'm going to interrupt you. We're going to have to hear from the people who pay for our sponsors, the people that we cold call. But when we get back, I want to know who you use. And Mike, I hope you're taking notes. So
you're about to get an expense request for looking into that very, very closely. You bet.
Okay, hold on a second. Here we go.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail. And it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com. Create your own account. Market your empty spaces or view available locations for your business. All on one convenient site, popupinsider.com. Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good.
This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guests, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. 6492, then press 1 to be placed in queue.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. We're here with Rod Santo Massimo and Mike Derner. Now, I hope everybody's got a pen because Rod is going to give us some very valuable information. Now, who do you use for this virtual assistant, Rod?
Well, I have a gentleman in India who I found through a portal called Elance. That's E-L-A-N-C-E, Elance.com. And there are many portals like this. There's Elance.com. There's MyOdesk.com. There's Guru, G-U-R-U.com. but and it's several more, quite frankly. But these are portals that allow you to post a job on the internet and get proposals from across the globe. It's an amazing tool that we use. And in fact, I have virtual assistants that do my Prezi presentations in Mexico, my research in India. I have writers for some of the documents we put together. I believe they're in the Philippines. And we virtual assistants, we're in global economy. And if you're a single broker just starting out, what a great use of your time just to go ahead and allocate some responsibility to someone else. But the Elance.com, Howard, I'm sure you read the book, The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Did
sure.
you read that book?
No, I didn't, but we did discuss it.
Well, Mike and I realized that, Howard, you live the 4-Hour Work Week, but the guys like Mike
yeah.
and us, okay? Mike and I actually work for more than 4 hours
now,
a day.
Let me interrupt you a second. I live the 4-Hour Minute.
Well, for a gentleman like you that only work 4 hours, Tim Ferriss's book really wasn't applicable to the commercial real estate world, but a rule of thumb I've always used is read a book, get one major thing from it, and move on. And the one major thing I got from Tim's book was, look, it's a global economy. Your time is so valuable. Leverage it with people that do things better than you and less, quite frankly, a lot less costly. So on Elance.com, without giving a commercial for Elance, what I did was I posted a job originally for some research. And all across the globe, we've got a lot of proposals. And the proposals we would weigh, and eventually we decide, don't use the cheapest, don't use the most expensive, and let's try a test. Let's test them out. And what I love about Elance, and if you're in real estate, which we all are, Elance allows you to escrow the money. So imagine that. You have someone do a job. They give it back to you. You don't pay them yet until you see the quality of the job. And then you say, great. Great job. I'll pay you. Go forward. If the job is horrendous, you give your provider the choice of either I'm going to pay you and give you a very low rating, which they don't want, by the way, or I'm not going to pay you, did a bad job. So it may take you, Howard, in your audience, 2 or 3 attempts with some vendors to see who's the better vendor. It took us probably 3 or 4, actually. And then we finally selected one, and that one person now has been working with us for over 4 years on all our research.
Well, Mike, so what modern approach do you use?
Hold on a second. I'm just sending off an invoice to Elance, charging them for all the commercial coverage that Rod's done so well for them.
Great.
In terms of research, there's a lot of different ways to do it. The point is that whether you're talking about your prospects' website, their newsletters, their blogs, appearances, talks they may give, where they join panel discussions, like we've seen, for example, at Brokers Forum or different industry events. Through those media, they tell you pretty much what's on their mind. They tell you what they're thinking about, what's important to them. And I think from all that material, you should be able to glean some fodder for conversation in terms of engaging them, talking in terms of something that they care about, and then obviously something that it will relate to a solution you can provide. A kind of interesting example of research is a little outside the box, but one that I was very proud of the result. Some years ago, saw a gentleman give a talk at a forum, he was a very funny guy. He wasn't a professional comedian by any means, but just incorporated humor a great deal into his delivery. So I could see that clearly the man had what we used to call a funny bone. And in trying to catch up with him, to reach him, had never been successful. I'd never talked to him, so it was a completely cold call. And finally what I did was I left him a voicemail, and to the effect this is Mike Dernerin at blank, blank, blank radio. Would love to talk to you. I know you're busy, so I'll give you an incentive. 3 nuns and an acrobat walk into a bar. And then I hung up. I must tell you that in 2 days, I got a call back. The guy was in hysterics, and we had a marvelous conversation. He knew I was from a radio station. And the thing is that there are ways to find out what is the best way to approach a particular prospect. And I think that can serve to warm up a cold call.
Mike, what was the answer to the story?
It was so long ago, I forget.
Okay, we're going to take another really quick break this time, and then I'd like it to get back to the question of whether or not cold calling is really relevant in the time of social media, or can they be used together?
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business. All on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
If you need anything with your company logo on it, you need Monogram Magic. T-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, anything. Monogram Magic does it beautifully, does it right, and does it right on time. For over 20 years, Monogram Magic has produced corporate apparel your people will be proud to wear. Large orders or small, it's all about attention to detail. See for yourself. Here's the website, logostolife.com. That's L-O-G-O-S, the number 2, then LIFE.com, logostolife.com.
This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guests, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
You're listening to CRE Radio with our special guest, Rod Santomassimo. Did I do that right, Rod?
You got it, my friend.
I'm working on it. And Mike Dernerin? Yeah, I think I've got that one correct, too. So there, I think there's a lot of confusion over this issue of whether or not social media and emails, let me lump in the emails, whether or not that can be a replacement for cold or warmer calling. And what's your take on that, Rod?
Well, it could be a replacement. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's a difference. Now, let me define the difference. Social media is presence. Presence is about creating an impression, creating this position for our target audience. It's your personal marketing. It's your advertising. That's presence. That is absolutely not asking for business. Cold calling, prospecting, by definition, is you're asking for business. So are they synergistic? Absolutely. Are they complementary? Yes, they are. Are they the same? No way. No how. Now, you could use social media to, as Mike suggested in the last segment, that you can use social media to gain information to leverage during prospecting. Now, for example, on every morning, I don't read the paper because our clients are throughout North America, so it's really difficult for me to read a paper that really shows where my clients are. So I read my Twitter account. I open up my Hootsuite account, which has all my different categories of brokers and brokerages, and I look at the stories, and from them I may get some tidbits, as Mike suggested, where I can leverage and use in a prospecting call. But I never make the mistake to think all I need to do is tweet and update my blog and my LinkedIn profile, and people are going to call me and say, oh gosh, Rod, I can't wait to work with you. Where do I pay? That doesn't quite work that way.
I consider the social media aspect the branding. In order for me to, if I'm going to cold call someone, it sure is helpful that through the use of social media, people know who I am or they know what CRE Radio is. So the social media helps either me or Mike actually make those cold calls. Mike, what's your thought?
Well, certainly there is a synergism, you know, amongst all those various things, and cold calling fits right in there. As Rod pointed out, those things create a presence. Those various media, they don't ask for the order. And at the when you come right down to it, at some point you have to ask for an order. And I believe the direct engagement call to someone you've never spoken to before, but that you suspect has some of what should be your money, is something you have to do as a part of the process.
Great. Now, what about this thing called an elevator pitch or scripts? Rod, do you use or recommend scripts at all?
Well, structure, yes. Scripts, no. How does that sound? There's a structure to every call, and I don't align an elevator pitch with a prospecting call. Again, the elevator pitch is about you, right? Everything you do, the value you could bring, the benefits of your service, right? So we'll put you in position to maximize your commissions. That's a benefit of our coaching services. But it really doesn't ask for the business. So the structure of the call itself, when you make the call, that needs to be structured, and the focus therefore then turns not to you, but to your audience. That's the difference.
Mike, have you ever used a script?
Absolutely never. Scripts are confining, and you inevitably lose your place while you're thinking about what the person is saying to you and the meaning of it. I don't think of it as an elevator pitch. I think of it as an elevator speech, which basically is, what do you do for a living, you know? And it's about a 20-second capsule of what you do. Might be considered a form of a first-person tweet, you know? But it is in no way a pitch.
Well, I disagree with both of you.
Okay. It's your show.
Well, I want to get some sort of I can't even think of the word. In any event, I've done stage acting, so I'm accustomed to dealing with scripts, and I go to court. And while I don't use scripts in court, it's not uncommon for me to rehearse, and know the script so well that I can ad-lib. And I think particularly for someone who doesn't have a lot of experience in making calls, that if they rehearse their script so much, they're actually in a better position to ad-lib and listen to what the person who they're calling, listen to them. Your focus then really becomes more listening than it is regurgitating the script. So, I mean, that's how I look at it.
I profoundly disagree.
Wow, that's the first time you have ever disagreed with me.
in three syllables, too. Holy cow. The thing I think with the scripts is that particularly for the newer person, the newer broker, whoever the salesperson is, I think that they are confining, and I think that they preoccupy and can create a comfort zone that disarms you as far as your ability to listen to the things you need to hear in this individual call at this specific time on this specific occurrence. And if you know what you're talking about, and if you simply trust yourself to listen and to respond very conversationally, all of a sudden it becomes a great deal less wooden and a great deal more human. And ultimately, human beings do business with human beings.
Okay, so we have to take one more break because Rod is going to be leaving us in... Rod, how much time we have left for you?
We have 20 more minutes, Howard.
Oh, Okay, so then let's just keep going, at least for another 3 or 4 minutes before we take a break.
If you did nicer, Rod, we'd have him for 40 or 50 minutes.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you have to understand is I became a lawyer because I have trouble with numbers and transposing them. So I can't even look at the clock. Why don't we talk about this? And this is the problem that I've had doing cold calling, and I got to tell you, cold calling drives me nuts. It's really, really difficult for me. So I kind of look for ways to play mental games with myself to get around it. Is there any way to get over that deer in the headlights fear when you have to pick up the phone and call a prospect? How do you do that? Because we've all experienced that.
Yeah, and there's no doubt we all have, and certainly when you start out, it's much tougher than when you become more seasoned and then your skin gets tougher of all the rejection you're going to get. There's no doubt about it. One thing I found, I give speeches across the country and from small to large audiences, and every time I get nervous, every single time, Howard, I get nervous. In fact, I'm presenting next week at a national global conference for a real estate company. I'm giving a speech that I'm going to have given several times already. I guarantee you I will practice it 10 more times between now and Wednesday. Absolutely will. I'll be practicing in my hotel room an hour before I give it. And I know it cold. And that's the point. You've got to practice. You've got to find a friend, your spouse, the mirror, and just give the pitch. Give the pitch and feel comfortable. And I remember when I walked through a bullpen once, every broker in the bullpen of this organization, they had a mirror in their cubicle. I asked the question, why do you have a mirror? Are you all so vain you need mirrors? And it was, in fact, the opposite. They were told and they were trained, I guess is a better word, that their expressions on their face when on their phone is a great reflection of how they're coming across to their customer. So how do you get out of that deer in the headlights? Practice, practice, practice.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
One of the first things that comes to mind, your last point, Rod, the business about the mirrors. You will also find if you go into recording studios and so on, you'll find mirrors for the announcers, to look into so that they are remembered to smile. And it's very important because while the listener can't necessarily identify what it is they're hearing, there is some element of the smile that comes through on the audio. They do hear it, and it sounds more positive, and I think that's a big part of it. So the smiling is important. But the other point, too, about the deer in the headlights, sales is a performance industry. And like any performance, whether it's sales, whether it's acting, perhaps singing, playing piano, whatever, most of the pros will tell you in any field that they have a sensation of what they call butterflies before going on stage, and I think that's quite normal. But what they do is they trust themselves and they trust their talent. And they go out on the stage, they take the plunge, and then once they get into the performance, and I think Howard can back me up on this, he does a lot of acting work in community theater, that despite the butterflies, once you get into the role, once you get into the mode of what you're doing, those butterflies go away and the performance takes over.
That is so true, and if I may, I've got to tell you of an experience that I had when I was doing The King and I, because this is so true. One of the performances, I'm backstage, and I know I have to come out on stage, and I'm standing right on the side. I know, like, in 2 minutes, I'm going to have to walk out, and I'm thinking, what's the scene? What am I supposed? Why am I even here? And I can't think of it. And the more I questioned myself, the more panic I had. I can't believe I can't think of what I'm supposed to do when I walk out on stage. What's going to happen if I walk out there and I start staring at the audience? I finally started to just say, calm down, trust yourself, trust yourself. It will come to you. I don't know why, but just trust yourself. And I'm telling you, I hear this gong, of course it's The King and I, and I start walking out. And I still don't know what I'm supposed to see and wave, and I'm out there. I just know I'm supposed to be out there. And I look at the king. He looks into my eyes, and the words just poured out of me. And it just so true. And I can't, and Rod, to the comment that you had in terms of it's all about rehearsing and practicing. I go out on stage, I literally, when I'm doing a show, I go to sleep going over my lines. I'm in the shower, I'm going over my lines. And before each scene, I am going over my lines. I'm not nervous, I don't have butterflies. I guess in a way I do, except that I just channel it into this focus so that the rest of the world almost doesn't even exist. And that's really what you have to do, I think, when you're cold calling, is you have to know your stuff so well that it just comes out. Now, Mike, you talk about the issue of whether or not you should take rejection personally. Let's talk about the rejection thing. And Mike, why don't you start?
Well, again, this boils into the idea, again, that you don't know what you're calling into on the other end of the line, what the situation is. But it's very easy for us, for example, to watch most men in America probably could recite all the lines from the Godfather trilogy, and I'm sure their wives will tell them they do it ad nauseum. I know Cookie says that to me. The thing is, though, is that those thoughts that resonate with you give you an opportunity to express yourself in a way that is uniquely yours and can, if you allow it, uniquely reach out to the person you're talking to. Now, some cases, you're going to get rejected. So what's the famous line from The Godfather? It's not personal, it's business, okay? And everybody gets that. Why do we not get it when we make a cold call and we wind up with some jerk on the other end of the line who's just having a bad day? I think of a cold call or a sales call, I really think of it as like a job interview, okay? And I try to conduct it that way because I really am looking for a job, so to speak. The point is if you think about it, many salespeople will take a rejection and a sales call maybe as hard as they would take the fact that they didn't get a job that they interviewed for. And of course, the level of significance is completely outmatched. The point is that the rejection is rejection. It's not rejection of you. It's rejection of maybe this interruption at this particular moment, which just happens to be bad. That's beyond your control. Or it's a rejection of whatever they think the call is about. The rejection is not you. But even if it were, and it's not, but if it were, the point is that nobody else sees it. Nobody else hears about it. It's like golf. Golf is a series of games. It's not a game. Each shot is its own game. Each cold call, whether it goes good, bad, indifferent, is its own separate thing. And there's not a mass audience there going, oh, look at him. He didn't do very well. So you can fail on this shot, and you can tee off on the next round and make a perfect shot. I can call you and make an utter fool of myself. Call somebody else and be brilliant.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a second. Roger, why don't we hear from some of the people who pay the bills around here? And when we come back, we're going to hear from Rod, certainly before he leaves, where we're going to be talking about a decision tree in your brain and how Rod handles the personal rejection issue.
Here's an exciting new tool for brokers and investors, RateBlend. RateBlend is a powerful online rent calculator that's quick and easy to use. Print and send detailed, effective rent analyses with a single click. RateBlend is easy to read, so what does your spreadsheet mean goes away. As a web app, RateBlend is accessible from your computer or any mobile device. Log on to creradio.com for Howard's comments, his one-on-one with developer Andrew Bermudez, and links to RateBlend. Try it today. We'll be right back.
This is Commercial Real Estate Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a comment for Howard or his guests, please call 619-393-6492. That's area 619-393-6492. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
Welcome back to CRE Radio with Rod Santomassimo and Michael Dernerin. And if you'd like to leave a comment specifically with regard to this show, please go to creradio.com/cold call, and we will participate in the discussion online. So, Rod, how do you handle personal rejection on cold calling?
Well, first and foremost, I was thinking of all my favorite Godfather lines during the break, so...
They just keep on bringing me back in!
That's exactly, that's one of my favorite ones, so... Keep on pulling me back in. But let's look at the... Let's look at this. Let's look at the five things that can happen on a call. Okay, these are five rules. Put your fingers out, audience. Five things that can happen on a call. This is it. Number one, right? Number one. They say yes. Great! They said yes, right? Set the meeting, get off the phone, absolutely confirm via email, Outlook, whatever, your appointment. And if it's more than 2 or 3 days away, you want to send something to them just to add value and remind them the opportunity they're about to be exposed to by that meeting. So that's the yes. Okay? They say no. They reject you. Well, what happens now? Why did they say no? Do they already have a broker? They're not selling. They're not leasing. You just caught them at a bad time. Do you continue to push? Rejection is not always a bad thing, by the way. Sometimes it's really a good thing. I'll get to that. Number three, they tell you, send information. Hey, Howard, I love what you had to say. Send me some information. Well, now you got a decision to make from that. Do you send the information, or are more bold moves saying, sure, I'd love to send some information to make exactly what you'd like to see to help with the decision. In fact, before I send it, let's agree now we're going to talk on Tuesday at 3 to follow up on the information. Because if you can't commit to that, me sending information is a waste of both your time and my time. Ooh, that's a strong way to go, but that's a third option. Okay, it's the wrong person. You called someone up, it's the wrong person. That means you didn't qualify them. You didn't qualify them, you didn't verify the contact. That's your fault, not theirs. Bad move. Last but not least, they say very simply, not an interest. Rejection, right? Not an interest. It's not a no, it's not an interest. So why is there no interest? Did you have a weak value proposition? Did you not articulate exactly what the message you were trying to bring? If they're not interested, do you push? Do you ask the question? And I'm sorry to hear that, but given our services, tell me, who may be interested in what I do? Or the strongest response, and this is not for everyone, Howard, is to say, I understand this isn't a priority to you. Tell me, when will it be a priority for you to reduce your rent by 20%? When will it be a priority to you to sell your price at 50% appreciation from where you currently had it? That's a strong response, not for everybody. So the reason I go through that is to share with the audience, that's a direct question, how do you handle rejection? The call can take many forms. And in a coaching organization, obviously, we track everything. One thing we track is calls. And if you recognize the more calls you make, the more opportunities you are going to recognize and realize, then you really start to celebrate the rejection. Great! I got a no. I'm closer to a yes. It sounds corny. I get it. I understand it. But you know what? You're going to get rejection anyway. You got to keep on plugging away. Rejection will always get you closer to the yes.
Yeah, actually, that's a great way of looking at it. If you get enough rejection, you start learning how not to get a rejection. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I really like Rod's idea when they say, "Oh, send us some info," because very often that's just a way to get rid of you. And I think it's very strong to do exactly that, to set a time to review the information, and then ask them quite pointedly, "If no, I don't want to do that. I just want the information." I mean, literally. Well, what do you want the information for? You know, I mean, you know, we all have better things to do here, and I think that's a very smart and very positive thing to do. Another point, though, in terms of one of those categories of rejection. Here again, it's a matter of thinking about who we're calling. And this is something, and I think this is industry-wide in sales, that a lot of times, okay, I'm calling the buyer, right? In many organizations, in many industries, the buyer is the guy who simply executes the orders of what has been authorized to buy. All right. He's not someone who could authorize a new approach or a time or a new product or a new solution to a problem. And the thing is that very often people say, "Oh yeah, I'm the buyer. I handle all that stuff." And you cheerfully, make your proposals and direct all your communication to that person. But that person may not have the juice to add what you're offering. Two, he's maybe somebody who simply goes out and fills in a shopping list.
Yeah. My attitude is, and after being around as long as I have, if I didn't fail as much as I have failed, then I wouldn't know half as much as what I know. And that may not be a lot, but I'm actually very grateful for maybe not at the time that I've had rejection, maybe not at the times that I had failure, but afterwards it's like, wow, if I didn't screw up like that, I guess I could use that as one of my hells. Oh no, now I've used all three up.
What do we do?
I'll have to talk very cleanly after I'm off the air with my wife. If I didn't have that failure and I didn't have that rejection, I wouldn't be where I am now, which might be a good thing. So, in any event, Rod has already spoken about the decision tree because he's given some examples. Now, let me, before we only have a couple of minutes left, so I want to ask Rod where else he's talking. I want him to mention a little bit about his books and publications. And I'm going to throw in a little bit of shameless plug for Rod here, my hero. One of the things that you should do, and we've talked about rehearsing and everything, Rod probably won't say this, but I would say having a mentor, having a trainer, having a coach is a really good idea. Even if you think that you're experienced enough, it's always good to have someone to help guide you. And I think this is really where Rod comes in. And Rod, you don't have to say thank you. Don't worry.
Well, thank you very much. That's fantastic. I agree with you completely. Having a coach is essential to your success.
Yeah, what a surprise. Rod, why don't you tell us about where you are speaking, what events you have coming up?
Well, I have a myriad of association and global conference events, national conference events. Actually, next week I'll be in Orlando at the JLL Global Conference, and then a variety of associations throughout the year. As much as I enjoy speaking, and I truly enjoy speaking, it's the day-to-day coaching that we have with our clients and seeing people completely accelerate their performance and production that we really enjoy the most.
Outstanding. Let's talk a little bit about some of your books, because the first time I've had you on the radio, we talked about one of your books, which was, I think, the eight top
brokers who dominate.
Oh,
brokers,
yeah.
Who dominate. The eight traits of top producers. It's been hovering around number one on Amazon.com in commercial real estate for quite a while now. We're very pleased with it. It's profiles of 20 brokers across North America and why they attained and now maintain their dominant position. It's been a great lever for us to get in front and have these opportunities for people like yourselves, thought leaders like yourselves. And certainly now everyone's saying, where's the second book? And the fact that the book has a shelf life of probably a good book, which we hope we've created, has a shelf life of 3 to 5 years. But in fact, if you must know, you'd be the first non-Mossimo Group person to know that there is a second book right now in the works. And I've targeted 2014 for that one.
Well, Rod, I'd like to thank you. I would like to recommend his book. It's really a very, very, very good book, and I have a signed copy from Faith Hope Consolo on that. So, Rod, thank you very much. And then I understand that you have to get going, so Mike and I will now finish up the show. You have a great day, Rod.
Well, Howard, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity and, more importantly, for your leadership in the industry. And, Michael, I cannot apologize enough for leaving you alone with Howard, but it's what I got to do.
What am I going to do here? Thank you so much, Rod, for joining us.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you.
Take care, bye-bye. Rod. So, without further ado, and I don't know why I said that right now, but the bottom line is this. Maybe I should mention a couple of the shows that we've got coming up, one of which sounds a bit esoteric, but I'm really excited about it, is a show about the rights and obligations of building owners and tenants with regard to architectural trademarks and copyrights. You know, what can you copy building and building designs? So we've got that coming up. Very, very interesting concept. We're going to be talking about all of the new things that the new laws and proposals regarding marijuana collectives and tenants and the issues and liabilities as it comes to landlords. That's going to be about a 4-hour show because we're going to have to take our time on that. And that's a joke. Finally, we're going to be doing a green building and sustainability show. We also have quite a few other shows scheduled. So, Mike, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you. I'm going to have to listen to you a little bit more later on. And buddy, you did a great job. This was
thank you very much.
This was a really nice show. So, Roger, if you don't mind, would you please take us away to close the show?
This has been CRE Radio with Howard Klein. If you have a question or a topic you would like to discuss, Howard can be reached at 949-288-3707. That's area 949-288-3707. Or by email to howard@creradio.com. CRE Radio is a live and recorded radio show accessible from both the web and your smartphone. Visit creradio.com to download any broadcast anytime or to receive newsletters and updates from Howard. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the sole intent of educating our listeners. Howard and his guest conversations specifically do not intend to offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, we recommend you seek out your own counsel. Remember, laws and practices may vary from state to state. Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Unauthorized editing or copying of portions of this show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
That's a wrap!